research project that we did in Uganda in the summer of 06, and then I want to talk about some policies that may have flowed from that study and some lessons learned along the way. There are a lot of people to acknowledge, and I won't read through them, but they're up there on the screen. I especially want to acknowledge Emily Bancroft, who is my student, who helped with the data collection and analysis in Uganda and is back there now as a Physicians for Human Rights Fellow and fed me some information. So that was very helpful. Okay, so the first thing to notice is that moving from research to policy is not always painless. And here's a graphic illustration of research to policy. So this is where Uganda is. It's in Eastern Africa. For those of you who haven't been there, a lovely, beautiful country. In the capital city, at least, it's a high elevation, so wonderful weather. This is the Ministry of Health, which was integral to designing and implementing the research project, which, of course, is therefore then integral to implementing policy results that flow from it. And a point I'd like to make is that since ministries of health in poor countries have such scarce resources at their disposal to spend on health system improvements, it's really important that their expenditures be very strategic. And so research can help determine what are likely to be the most effective strategies for the expenditure of their scarce resources. Research, however, costs money to do, and so some of those scarce resources, it's tough to allocate towards research. You can get donors and NGOs to help do your research, but you want to make sure, as a Ministry of Health, that the research that's conducted is really something you want done, that you will own the results of that research, and that you're not repeating studies that have been already done just so that somebody can get a paper somewhere sometime, and that the results are likely to generate policy-relevant information. Okay. So I think those were conditions that were in place as we did this study. So health workers are the most important part of any health system, I would argue, and they consume the largest expenditures in any health system. We know that improving health worker performance and reducing turnover leads directly to improving health outcomes. So that was the focus of the particular piece of research that we did in Uganda. Last year, my colleague Eddie Makuyo from the Ministry of Health in Uganda presented the actual results of the study, which were fairly fresh at that point. Were any of you here to hear Dr. Makuyo give those results? Okay, I was going to just kind of speed through them if you hadn't heard them, but I'll talk about them in a little bit more detail. So, as I said, the study was done under the guidance of the Ministry of Health. And the methods were that we surveyed 18 hospitals in 9 districts across the country. The facilities were selected using a random selection process with probability proportionate to population size so that we could generalize the results to the entire country. Again, that makes it more policy relevant. This is a picture of our data collection team. On results, we found overall satisfaction among health workers to be only average, but there was a bimodal distribution. That is, workers were either satisfied or not, but rarely indifferent. We found the private sector offered better working conditions, but that the public sector offered better salaries, except for physicians. It's not necessarily like that in other countries. We found many problems with regard to working conditions, including unmanageable workload, poor access to equipment and supplies, surprisingly poor access to water and electricity, and even supervisor abuse of one form or another. Health workers said their living conditions suffered from poor transportation, poor schooling for their children, and inadequate access to electricity at home. The electricity problem was particularly rampant that summer, but it is a continuing and chronic problem. We also toured some health worker accommodations that were shockingly poor. A nurse on the night shift lives in that hut with her five children. It was very hot. Those are the toilet facilities. The level of satisfaction with compensation is very low. We learned there are compensation mechanisms, however, such as health care coverage, that may be as important as the salary itself. This is a sign that was posted on the tree in the community of Gulu outside the regional hospital. It says, "This is to inform you that salaries for July are not yet ready. They will be ready next week." And that was the second set of signs that had been up. So salaries are late, which is a major demotivator to health workers. Doctors are the least satisfied among all the cadres of health workers and are the most likely to leave their jobs or Uganda for greener pastures. We found significant differences in satisfaction and intent to stay among health worker types and demographic differences. Doctors are at high risk for leaving. I'll just go on, I guess. So that was sort of the general point of the results. A lot of dissatisfaction, very poor compensation, very poor working conditions. Some places better than others, though, which sort of gives you a roadmap, I think, to navigate why are some people doing well in some of these situations and others not. Typical policy tools at the government's disposal include regulation, taxation or exemptions therefrom, privatization or transfers to state ownership, the use of purchasing power, salary structures, training and education, leadership, and of course, there's always the policy tool of doing nothing and let current course of events follow as they may. So those are, I mean, there are obviously many policy tools available to governments, but that's a set of them. So Uganda's strategic objectives for human resources for health were adopted just about 5 months ago, and they set forth these goals. None of them are surprising, but I do note some features that may have been informed by both the growing literature on human resources for health as well as our own study. I was particularly taken with the goal of promoting an ethical and professional organizational culture in light of our finding on supervisor abuse reported by a significant minority of health workers. There is a new ministry policy announcing bonuses for health workers willing to work in hard-to-reach areas in the northern part of the country and some promises to improve staff living conditions. There also seems to be a new emphasis on physical infrastructure. My former student, Emily, who conducted this study, just wrote to me from Gulu saying that there is real evidence of facility improvements such as lab and ambulance upgrades. This was the ambulance in Gulu when we were visiting there, and they now have five reliable vehicles, and I think that's remarkable. Posting targets are the number of staff to be hired in each facility, and these haven't been upgraded in about 10 years. But our study helped focus some attention on that problem, and I think that there will be movement on upgrading at least the targets for numbers of workers that we'd like to see in each facility, even if they can't yet hire them all. One major issue in the public sector is the number of health workers, especially doctors, who are moonlighting in second jobs to earn additional money. This is very disruptive to public hospital care, but could be mitigated by salary increases and some controls. And I think the private sector actually does a better job of this than the public sector. And by private sector, I mean the non-governmental, typically religious hospitals that are being run there. So some lessons from this project. First, when the ministry itself is actively engaged in designing and implementing the research, the results are far more likely to be incorporated into policy. It helps if some of their own resources were invested in the research, and in this case, they had people on the ground who were on the teams, They contributed the vehicles for getting out to our districts, so they were definitely invested. Results need to be disseminated quickly, not only to the ministry, but to the hospitals where the studies were conducted.